We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow, you're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm a first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that. You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Yeah.
Good morning and welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. My name's Andy Bunker. That's Randy McMichael coming to you live from the Hawks practice facility up here at Emory as we are going to be giving you the Cam Reddish press conference at 11 o'clock, about an hour from right now. Cam Reddish is going to meet with the media this morning. He's going to jump on with us, Randy, at about 11:40,
right,
so
right.
It'll be cool to talk to one of the Hawks draft picks.
The one that we could talk about.
The one that we're allowed to talk about. And you made an interesting point before we came on the air, Randy, and you asked, so are we even allowed to mention the other one since we're in the building?
That's like, what I'm saying. Like,
can we talk about the other
gag
guy?
Order? They're going to put a gag order against us? Like, is somebody going to bust through that door right there? And like, no, you can't say that?
It might. Who knows? I wouldn't want to test John Steinberg.
No, me neither. I ain't trying to test nobody. This is my first time up in here, and I would like to come back sometime. So I don't want to be that guy, because – you know, when you're in Vegas and you get in trouble, they got the guys with the black jacket.
Uh-huh.
They got black jacket boys up here.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, in the front.
When I walked in
yes.
the door. And who are you? I'm with the radio station. Yeah, I know. What's your name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, I didn't go through all that. Because
you walked through real quick,
and
then they came up to me again and said, who was that?
I was like, oh, my bad. Do I need some kind of pass or
that
something?
That was media member Randy McMichael.
No. I ain't got that badge yet. Until then I'm just going to – I'm going to hold tight until I get that badge at Mike Conti – had to call me out on and say he's getting for me. Until that happens, no.
Okay. No. But when it does and it says press on it.
Then I'll think about it.
Or media on it.
I'll think about
okay,
it.
Okay, then we'll think. We'll rehash
it.
That at that point.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
We are happy to be here today, though. Obviously spent a lot of time on Friday reacting and Saturday as well. Both at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw on Friday and Twin Peaks in Buckhead on Saturday. Thanks to everybody who came by and said hello. We had a great time both days. So shout out to everybody involved with those broadcasts. But we talked a lot about this Saturday and Friday, Randy, was what a fun first round it was for the Hawks. I mean, we are going to talk about DeAndre Hunter. I know that we can't ask anyone here about DeAndre Hunter, which, again, is very, very strange.
Frustrating.
I don't think that it serves the fan of the NBA the way that Adam Silver would probably want his league to be serving the fan of the NBA. But I guess it's 2 weeks where we don't get to talk about him until July 6th. Nonetheless, Cam Reddish will be talked about, obviously. He will speak for himself as well, and then he'll join us in the back half of the 11 o'clock hour. We'll also talk to head coach Lloyd Pierce at some point in the noon hour. Travis Schlenk going to join us before 2 o'clock as well. So a lot of good Hawks conversations coming your way. A lot to talk about from the Braves this weekend too, Randy, where they did what we asked them to do. They went up to Washington and won 2 out of 3. They did it in a very Braves way, just like we said last Monday out of the Phillies series. They come from behind, looked like they were dead on Saturday. They came from behind and scored, 9 runs in the final 3 innings of that game?
Unbelievable.
And then they have a 10th-inning home run from Johan Camargo yesterday. Just another day, another hero, it seems like, with the Atlanta Braves. And we also saw Luke Jackson almost give everyone a heart attack
77.
Yesterday.
77, please.
Yeah, number 77 almost gave everyone a heart attack yesterday.
Yes, please.
And Mike Foltynewicz was so bad on Saturday that he's now down in Gwinnett. I'm not surprised that it happened given the way that he pitched on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that that's where we are this season with Mike Foltynewicz.
I think it's a surprise because coming into the season, he was supposed to be the number one guy in your rotation. And you saw from spring training, you were down there, you, Joe Patrick, and Brian Jordan. You saw, I think you were down there when he actually was hurt.
I was.
And then they're like, okay. And I know that when me and John Checker, when we had our weekend show, it seemed like every time we would talk about Folty, I kept saying, something's not right. And then when he was coming back, I said, does it seem like he's coming back too early? And he just hasn't found his groove. Obviously, he claims he's healthy, so I'm going to have to go with him and say he's healthy. But Schnick, I think Schnick thinks more or less what's, you know, between the ears. It was a mental thing. And so hopefully he can go up to Gwinnett and figure out what's wrong with him, because honestly, Andy, they need Folty. They do. He's one of the most talented pitchers on their roster. Only 27 years old. A guy, you said he was an all-star last year. My jury was still out on him for me. I mean, even though he did do the all-star last year, I was just like, okay. But, yeah, he needs to get himself right and figure out what's wrong with him. As of yesterday, Johan, like you said, another hero. You got Ronald going yard.
Yeah.
I mean, Josh Donaldson still raking like way he is. I mean, but the thing that made me mad, and again, I go back to the whole Acuna thing when he got hit. He hit our guy, dude. They hit our guy yesterday in Mike Soroka, man. And I was curious if it was going to be some payback. Now, I hate that unwritten rule mess, but, yeah, I hated to see that Mike had to go out to early.
So, wait, but you hate the unwritten rules, but you wanted him to
no,
hit him?
I didn't want him. I was curious if they were going to hit him.
Got it.
Now, they would have hit him. I was like, oh, got away from him, huh? But other than that, I mean, overall, to go up there and win that series, because the one team you couldn't beat, it seemed like, was the Nationals.
Yeah.
For them to go up and get two out of three, headed to Chicago next, which is going to be another daunting series for this squad. But right now, I mean, started June, they were three back. Now they're 6.5 up.
Yeah.
Before the end of June.
That's the story.
Yeah.
The story is the way the Braves are playing, the runs the Braves are scoring, how good of a baseball team this is right now. They've won 13 out of their last 16. I think the second paragraph, or maybe even second line of the story, is how bad the rest of the NL East
is
right now, and how the Phillies are collapsing. They've lost 7 games in a row. Their manager is, I think, very close to becoming on the hot seat.
He was always that. He was always he was always the weak link that people talk about. That team was okay. They got all this talent. Do you trust the manager to manage all? I mean, that was a big thing coming into this season when they got Real Muto and they went out. Got Bryce Harper was like, they got all these parts. Is the manager the right guy for the job? But you see that. Thank you again for, the Miami Marlins. They did something good, I guess.
They swept them.
And then the Mets, they're a mess right now.
Yeah.
And so right now, it's all about the Braves. And I said this probably Wednesday, I think, on our show was, this is their division to lose. And what I mean by that, it has to be a straight collapse by them.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like, and it might be too soon to say this. I saw Mike Conte tweet this yesterday afternoon, and I don't disagree with him. I'm just not comfortable saying it yet. It feels like the NL East has a chance to be a runaway.
Yes, it does.
Like
with
the way these other teams are playing again, it's June 24th.
Right.
A lot can change. The Phillies are a talented roster. Look, the Nationals are a talented roster.
Yes.
A lot can change from now and the end of the season. But what's crazy about it is, and we were just sort of hitting on it a minute ago, is that the Braves are doing all of this with a lot of fluctuation in their pitching rotation.
Yes.
The number one guy coming into the year is in AAA now because he can't get it right between his head, and we'll get back to Folty in just a minute. The number two guy got sent to AAA in April in Sean Newcomb.
Right.
And now he's back up, and he was in the bullpen, and then he got hit with a liner, and he'll be back in the bullpen eventually. The number three guy, Gausman, they had to invent an injury for him. You know what
no.
I'm saying?
Yeah, like, plantar fasciitis.
This is what's going on with this starting rotation right now, and yet this team is still 6.5 games up in the division. It's not even the 4th of July yet.
Yeah.
So we keep going back to this, and a lot of times it was with the bullpen. Right now I think it's with the starting rotation. If you're able to solidify it and get it figured out, which, look, I think that the addition of Dallas Keuchel, even though he wasn't great on Friday night, there were signs that he, he could help sort of steady things in the rotation. if you could get – you might have to go out and make another move, and I wouldn't be opposed to doing that. But the obvious move is at the closer position, because as good as the bullpen has been, and the bullpen has been very good over the last month and a half.
They have.
Third best ERA in the National League. The bullpen threw 16 innings over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday combined, and 8 of them yesterday because Soroka had to leave the game early after getting hit with a line drive. They threw 16 innings over the weekend, gave up 4 runs. That's a 2.25 ERA. The bullpen, in large part, is why we're talking about a 2-1 series victory for the Braves over the Nationals over the weekend. So, and yet, we saw Luke Jackson come out yesterday in the 10th inning and immediately walk the first batter, which was great. Now, somebody needs to tell him he doesn't have to do that. I don't know if he knows that or not.
I don't know if he knows that, but the thing that frustrates me the most about him is how many balls is – I mean, I know that's his pitch, his sink, whatever it is, but it just – I mean, it always seems like Brian McCann is having to work double when he's in there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a frustrating thing. And we all know what's going to happen. Eventually, they will go out and get somebody. I'm just going to have to bank on that, that AA and these guys, they'll go out and get somebody to solidify that, because when are we going to have – I mean, at what point – because now you're looking at, okay, we're 6.5 up. We can keep trotting him out there and let him get better on the fly. Bruh, it is what it is.
He's not going to get better on the fly.
He is who he is.
Yeah,
right?
He's not going
to
get better.
He's just not that guy. And so I don't know, do you go back to A.J. Minter? No, he's already proven that in high leverage moments that he's not that dude either. So, I mean, eventually, and you know, with teams falling back like they are, there's some closers, there's some relievers on some staffs that people are, you know. But here's the thing, Andy. What you going to give up to get them? Because you got to give up something.
Oh, yeah.
You got to give up something to get one of these guys. And are you just so thick-headed and stubborn and worried about a young pitcher or somebody becoming the next great guy that you don't want to help your team right now that's ready to win right now? That's on you.
Doesn't it feel like you'd have to give up less if you did it sooner? The longer you wait,
of course,
the less leverage you have.
Of course.
And I remember, I don't remember exactly who was having this conversation, but it was a show on our station with a baseball analyst on from Fox Sports South, and I think it was Paul Byrd, talking about waiting until the deadline because, you know, you don't want to give everything up now. You wait a little longer. Well, to me that seems counterintuitive. I thought that if you did it sooner and didn't give the Giants or the Tigers or whatever team you're going to be making this trade with that leverage of time. Because the longer you wait, the more desperate
exactly.
you become. The other thing is, and look, we're lucky to be sitting here, lucky because the offense is playing so well. We're fortunate to be sitting here on June 24th talking about a 6.5-game division lead. Mm-hmm. We could be talking about a 12-game division lead.
Because that's where it should be.
If there wasn't 13 or 14 blown saves already this season. So that's the thing that frustrates me is the longer you wait, the more chances you have to blow these saves. The longer you wait, the higher the asking price can be. The longer you wait, the more desperate you become. And when you talk, Randy, about being unwilling to trade prospects to go out and get, whether it's Will Smith or whoever, to come in and be your closer, I feel like the closer you get to July 31st, the more that asking price is going to be, and you don't have the opportunity to say no.
But you got a long time between here and there right now, and I'm sure that they're monitoring. Every team is monitoring every team, especially when you're in a position where the Braves are. I know the bullpen, you know, and relief pitching has been a problem league-wide. But I always say that. I don't care about league-wide. We're about the damn Braves.
Yeah.
Right now, they're playing so well, and you would hate for that one problem, Andy, that we kind of knew that – no, not kind of – that we knew was going to be a problem coming this season. You don't want that to be the reason why you don't achieve your goal.
How do you fix what's going on between Folti's ears? That's the issue.
I don't know.
His arm is fine.
Yeah.
He's not hurt anymore.
I don't know. Because, you know, I mean, I think, you know, one of the best people, and even though he'll always make fun of himself because of his movement, would probably be Rob, because Rob was a pitcher, Triple I'm talking about, so he knows all the mental part about being a pitcher. It's just like, you know,
so he
what?
Needs to go hang out with Rob Tribble at the Universal joint?
Go over to the Universal joint over in Decatur, go hang out with Tribbs.
It's a good time.
But, you know, here's the thing. Maybe sometimes, and this happens for athletes, just a reset. You know what I'm saying? Just get away from it for a while. I mean, he's still going to pitch up there in Gwinnett, but just figure out what's going on with you, because Folti doesn't think nothing wrong with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't think.
Well, he doesn't think anything's wrong with him physically.
I don't think.
I think he's right.
I don't think he thinks anything's wrong with him mentally.
I think
he's fine.
Based on what he said and the way that he sounded after the game on Saturday, I mean, he was basically crying.
Yeah,
in the clubhouse after the game.
But because he pitched bad, I don't think he thinks that there's something wrong with him. I don't look at it that way. I think that he's PO'd because he has to go back to Gwinnett. But I don't think that he thinks that something is wrong. And until he figures that out, what's wrong? Until he admits that something's wrong with him, he's going to be doing the same thing.
Well, maybe it'll have the same effect on him being sent down to Gwinnett as it did with Newcomb. Newcomb went down there, reset, came back, and has been much better since.
But Folti ain't coming back to be a relief pitcher.
No, he's not.
Folti's coming back to be a starter.
I know that.
So,
well, you live up that way. Maybe you come over to your house and hang out.
Come on through, Folti.
Floating the pool. You posted a picture of yourself floating in the pool yesterday.
Come on through, man.
That looked like a good way to get your mind right.
I got mine right.
All right, we'll come back and get to what's trending coming up next. We're live at the Hawks practice facility up here at Emory. Cam Reddish going to speak to the media in about 45 minutes, but we'll come back and tell you what's trending here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And a high fly ball that's well hit deep right field. To the track goes Eaton, to the scoreboard, and it's gone! Pinch hit home run for Camargo!
Yeah, that's the way it sounded yesterday afternoon as the Braves took down the Nationals, took the series as well, 4-3 yesterday. Johan Camargo, the hero.
Yes.
Who was the hero on Saturday? Dansby and Freddie?
Dansby?
It just seems like every single night these guys, when they win, they take turns doing this. It's been Brian McCann last weekend, Ronald Acuna, it's Ozzie Albies, and again, last night it was Johan Camargo coming up big as a pinch hitter in the 10th inning, giving the Braves a lead. Now, luckily, it was a two-run home run.
Yes.
And not just a solo home run.
Yeah, because that damn 77 came in and almost – I mean, it's frustrating, man. And yeah, I know.
It's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, I know he got to say whoop-de-doo. All right, okay, yay! Come on, man. I mean, and for y'all Luke Jackson defenders, please,
wait a minute.
Stay away from me.
No, they're not.
Well, Randy actually.
Are they still out there?
Yeah, they still.
No, they're not.
Oh, he got a few dudes.
No, they're not.
He got a few dudes. He got a few folks that wear 77 chains. I'm out of the Debo and just snatch your chain.
They're going to do the – because they did the Ozzie Albies chain night.
Yeah.
And that was a great success. Everyone loves Ozzie Albies.
Yeah. But
what do you think the turnout would be like for a 77 chain night?
I don't know, man. But it's just frustrating because everybody sees it, you know. And that was always something to me because I'm not one of those people. I like Brian Snicker. You know, everybody thinks that he should be gone and all that. Like, he's not the guy for the future. But I like him a lot.
Me too.
But, again, what is going – is his loyalty to certain people going to derail this damn team? And that's the most frustrating thing because everybody sees what's going on. All right, don't give me that. Well, he's not getting hit really hard. Oh, dude, he got people on base, all right?
Well, he didn't get hit at all to get the first guy on base. He walked him.
Walked? I mean, just walked out the gate, just walked him.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I thought the Luke Jackson defenders kind of went away. I know there was some, I guess, analytic argument that he was going to regress back to the mean or something like that, and everything was going to start going better for him because he had been getting unlucky. All right, whatever. And I know this isn't like the most popular thing to say in the analytical age of baseball, but I want a closer who is lucky.
Yes.
I don't want a closer who's unlucky. Give me a closer who is lucky. Randy and Andy here with you. Midday show live from the Emory Sports Medicine Complex. The Atlanta Hawks getting set to announce Cam Reddish coming up in about 35 minutes from right now. He'll meet with the media, have a press conference. We will carry that live, and then Cam Reddish is going to sit down with us at about 11:40 this morning. Head coach Lloyd Pierce will join us afternoon at some point before 2, as will Travis Schlenk. So up here hanging out with the Hawks as they make the announcement of Cam Reddish. They still cannot make the announcement of DeAndre Hunter.
No.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
who?
Yeah, he's on the Lakers, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, he was drafted by the Lakers, as well as Bruno Fernando. That can't happen until July 6th. But I imagine we'll be back up here for that when that happens as well. But today is Cam Reddish's day, which is nice. Now everybody gets their own special day.
Right, right.
Right? Everyone gets their own press conference, which will be good. Well, anyway, we'll let you hear from Cam Reddish coming up in about 35 minutes. Back into just a couple of things related to what the Braves have going on this past weekend and looking ahead to this week. The Braves are now 6.5 games up in the division, which is great. The rest of the division is collapsing.
They're struggling.
We've got the Phillies doing what they're doing. 7 in a row they've lost. They got swept by the Marlins, which was fantastic. And a little bit of turmoil going on with their manager. The Nationals look like the second-best team in the division right now. They gave the Braves a great run over the weekend. The Braves still took 2 out of 3 from them. And then the Mets are busy arguing with reporters.
Yeah.
And trying to get in fights with reporters in the clubhouse. So it's great to look around the rest of the NL East and see all the other teams having struggles while the Braves just continue to truck along and win 13 out of the last 16.
Yeah, they're doing their thing. They're running away with the division right now. And the last time we said it, you know, on June 1st, they were 3 back.
Yeah.
And now they're 6.5 up. I mean, this is a squad. And they've got some help, but they've done what they're supposed to do. And they've gotten help from, like I said, the Miami Marlins, who were just beating up on the Phillies all weekend down in Miami. Probably was hanging out, just coming to the ballpark. It's just the Marlins, and the Marlins just beating y'all up. But, I mean, I'm excited how they are progressing right now, Andy. And that's not my biggest thing, is that with all the problems and the issues, and they don't have a lot of problems, they just have a glaring problem. Even with that glaring problem, they're still finding ways to win games. And, again, Johan Camargo, he was just the latest in the line of guys who have come up with big plays in the clutch. I mean, they're still one of the best teams as far as hitting. Inning 7 through, you know, 9. I mean, that is unbelievable how clutch this team is. And that's why when you're sitting there and you're watching it and in the bullpen, as good as they've been playing, they had some rough spots yesterday. You know, Tomlin, he did well for his four innings or whatever. But other guys came, you got Swarzak.
He's great.
You know what I mean? They were great, but they had little moments. And like, I'm not going to put it all on Luke Jackson because, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they got runs before Luke Jackson came in the game. But it's just that one glaring thing that these Braves teams need that we all know that I think if they get that one right there, Andy. Now, I don't know. It's hard for me to say that they'll beat the team out in L.A., but they can hang in with them.
Yeah.
They can hang in with them.
Get a closer.
Yeah.
Find another starting pitcher. And hopefully Soroka comes back. Brian Snicker was talking about how he's doing after he got hit by a liner yesterday.
I think he's okay. I mean, all the x-rays were negative, and we'll know more in a couple of days when he tries to throw the ball around. But they don't seem to think it's going to be other, than a nice bruise. It's just going to be, sore.
He was hot too.
Oh yeah,
Mike was hot. Mike threw the ball down, hit the slow walk to first base. Yeah, he was a little upset, but this hopefully it's nothing bad, man. You know, something that will prevent him from having a start. But we were also talking about Andy maybe giving these young boys a little rest, him and Max Fried. So maybe this, I don't want to say the injury came at the right time. We're not saying he has an injury, but if he has to miss a start, hey, it'll be all right.
Kind of unlucky the last week or so with comebackers, though. Or I guess he got hit by a pitch when he was batting. But
that's the worst part, Andy. He was batting.
Yeah, he was.
Now, he caught like a line drive off his arm.
Newcomb caught a line drive off the back of his head.
Yeah, but you don't want your number one pitcher getting injured batting.
No, you really don't.
You know, that just sucks.
Yes, it does. It really, really does. So hopefully that all comes back positive and he's able to get back in the rotation as soon as possible. Julio Teheran goes tonight.
Oh, yeah, Julio. Let's see.
Chris
Bryant. Home run, second, first inning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Reverse jinx.
Reverse jinx.
Reverse jinx has been applied by Randy McMichael. Now, just in case you're unfamiliar, Randy had been reverse jinxing Julio Teheran every start on his great run of eight starts. And then we weren't on last week. Tuesday, we weren't on when Julio Teheran made his start and went out and did not pitch well. So clearly, it was your fault.
Yes, it was all on me. I told you, I put that loss on me, Braves fans.
You just reverse jinxed him. So Julio Teheran should get back on track tonight as the Braves take on the Cubs. Fun four-game series against the Cubs. Another nice little test for the Braves after passing the test against the Nationals over the weekend. All right, we're up here at the Emory Sports Medicine Complex. Cam Reddish going to speak to the media coming up in about half an hour. Travis Schlenk talked about why he liked Cam Reddish so much earlier, actually on Friday.
Cam in particular, we had ranked inside the top five all year long. We kind of felt like we had a shot to get him at 10. It made a pretty easy decision for us to give it a shot.
Again, that's Travis Schlenk on the morning show back on Friday talking about the draft and the way that it went down on Thursday night. Why do you think Reddish was at 10?
I'm curious about that, man, because he's uber talented. I mean, he has everything that you want in the wing play today as far as the NBA style of play. I think that, because he wasn't that consistent at Duke, I still think it was more or less him trying to find his way because you had those two guys there in R.J. Barrett and Zion Williams, and you just couldn't find your niche. But a lot of it, I know that pre-draft, a lot of people were talking about his motor and all those things. So I'm pretty sure that had to be it, Andy, because this guy is too talented. He has the body. He can handle the basketball. He can do so many different things. He can shoot the ball. Just need to do it consistent. And I think that could be something. But I think just that motor thing, I really think that kind of – because, I mean – dude, that kind of skill set?
Right. I mean, he is cut from the 2019 NBA mold. Like, how do you design a perfect wing in this era of the NBA? Oh, there you go. 6'8", 7'1", wingspan, can shoot, can dribble, can play defense. You know, the thing that doesn't get talked about, and knowing that we were going to get a chance to talk to him today, went and did a little research over the weekend and watched a lot of videos of him. Dude's explosive, man. He was throwing dunks down on people, especially he didn't do it a ton at Duke because that just wasn't his role to get to the rim as much. He still did it a few times at Duke, but there's videos of him in high school and with the U.S. national team and in the McDonald's All-American game just getting up and absolutely dunking on dudes. Like, we're talking about an elite-level athlete here. So I think you're right, Randy. I think it was totally narrative-driven the way that he sort of slid in the draft. And we talked about it over the weekend. Probably the biggest boom or bust first-round pick. The boom could be, you're talking about all-star level ceiling. And the floor, who knows? But it's very cool that the Hawks were able to stick around and get him at 10, because there was a lot of conversation about whether or not they would have traded up to get Cam Reddish.
Because that's what we thought when we were hearing that, you know, the Hawks were trying to package picks and move up. We thought it was to get him.
Yes.
We actually did. And for them to get him right where he was, only thing about it is this is going to be behind eight ball a little bit because he's recovering from an injury, the surgery or whatever, so he's not going to do summer league and things like that. So the sooner he can get back, the better, the more he can start acclimating himself with his teammates, because you always want these young players. If they can get in the summer league, you want them in there. You want them to find a way to get some kind of competition going. But, yeah, I was surprised he was there at 10, but all the mocks, they had the Hawks even taking him at 8 or 10. I mean, yeah. So some people kind of knew that he was going
to
slide.
Shout out to Deshaun Tate again, because Tate had been telling us for months that Cam Reddish was who they were focused on. Now, they traded up and went and got DeAndre Hunter.
Right.
Obviously, we're not going to be able to ask about that today because it's not official until July 6th. But they also they got Reddish, and Schlenk said there they had him slotted in the top five. So to be able to get two guys that you had slotted in the top five, you know what else I saw Tate do over the weekend? Because Tate is a, and I mean this in a complimentary way, he's kind of a hoarder.
Yes.
When it comes to college basketball stuff and NBA draft stuff.
Right.
He had an old mock draft from before the college basketball season started last year where Cam Reddish and Bruno Fernando were two of the top three picks in the NBA draft.
Wow.
Bruno Fernando, when he came in, because he was so hyped, and then the year didn't maybe go quite the way that everyone thought it was going to go for him at Maryland, but there was a mock draft from NBADraft.net where they had Cam Reddish go at 2 and Bruno Fernando go at 3.
Wow.
And the Hawks were able to get both of those guys, and not even with their first pick. They got another guy with their first pick. So it's a pretty successful draft.
And even with their first pick, I think Cam, his skill set is a little bit better than Hunter's. I think, you know, I think that if you look at that all-around game, I think it's better than Hunter. Hunter is just one of those guys, and I saw some interesting conversations about him, about where you would play him. I know some people say, well, he's more of a power forward. I was like, well, I mean, if you're talking about you going to go to that lineup where you're going to put John Collins in the center, of course.
Yeah.
But I don't think you want him starting at your power forward, do you?
No.
Yeah.
Especially not yet.
Yeah.
But, no, you want him to be your three,
yeah.
I would think.
I know he can't handle the ball like you want your threes to handle, but he can handle enough.
He can handle it pretty good.
No, he's not an elite ball handler.
Who? Hunter? Or?
Yeah, Hunter.
Oh, Hunter. Yeah.
Hunter's not an elite ball handler.
Reddish is.
Definitely. He's going to be your second ball handler, without a doubt.
Yes. Cam Reddish press conference coming up in 25 minutes. Coming back after what the Hawks were able to do on Thursday night, after what the Braves have been doing all season, as well as the Falcons defense and what Atlanta United is doing too. Let us ask this question. Who has the best young core in Atlanta pro sports right now? We'll get into that on the other side here. Live from the Emory Sports Medicine Complex, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
The chemistry is great. All 25 guys in here. We have one goal in mind, and that's to win. And we truly do care about each other in this clubhouse. We spend more time here than we do with our families for 9 months. So sometimes it's hard to get along with 25 different personalities, but we all do it in this clubhouse, and that's showing on the field.
That's the voice of Freddie Freeman talking about the vibe inside the Braves clubhouse right now. Part of that vibe created by the fact that they've got a really impressive list of young players. And I think that's what kind of Freddie was getting at there. You know, there's a lot of different personalities in this clubhouse.
Yeah.
I feel like Freddie's personality probably a little bit more similar to Nick Markakis' personality, Brian McCann, guys that have been in clubhouses for a very long time. Maybe a little more understated, easygoing, quiet type guys. But you got a lot of young guys in that locker room right now. That maybe aren't that way. A little bit more flair, a little bit more vocal, a little bit more swagger about them. And watching this Braves team exist this way, and I think leadership has a lot to do with that for Freddie Freeman and Brian McCann and all of those guys, but it doesn't always work like that, especially when you have a bunch of young, talented players, which kind of led us to this question. Anyway, welcome back to the Emory Sports Medicine Complex, live up here getting ready for the Hawks press conference, introductory press conference for Cam Reddish coming up in about 15 minutes, Midday Show with Andy and Randy. And with what the Hawks did, and Cam Reddish is the newest addition to this with their young core, the Braves young core that Freddie Freeman is talking about right there. The Falcons have an incredible amount of young talent on their defense, which is going to lead to who gets paid and when.
Yep.
Now, that's sort of the question of the offseason with all of their young talent. And then Atlanta United has a lot of really talented young players too, and that's a little complicated as well. But it led us to this question. I think we got into it on Saturday, and it was up on the website on 92.9thegame.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter as well, and got a lot of people talking about which young core you like the best, which young core you think is best set up to win long-term. And I think there's a lot of different directions you can go with the amount of young talent that we have in this city right now.
Yeah, it is. It's because all the four major teams in this city all have really good young talented players. And we've seen all the guys do their thing, except for probably Trey, because he's still young. He's only been in league 1 year. But a lot of these guys in this scenario right here, they've done it multiple years in a row. Like, you look at the Braves, then their young core, and I'll just start off with the superstar and Ronald Acuña. He's doing it again. You know, he hit one yesterday. You look at the Falcons defense. I mean, Deion Jones is one of the top linebackers at his position. Grady Jarrett is one of the top D linemen in the league. Keanu Neal has the ability or the skill set to be one of the top strong safeties. Atlanta United. And by the way, according to their Twitter, and I'm talking about Atlanta United and our Mike Conte, Joseph has been added to the All-Star.
Oh, good.
Okay, so that's out the way.
Maybe we'll find out someday what happened.
Yes, but we've seen their young core.
Yes.
And their young core won a damn championship.
They did.
Okay, so, I mean, I guess you got to put them up at the top because they have won a championship.
That's interesting because they have had the most success as a core. And look, Al Marone was a part of that.
Yes,
now he's
he
gone.
Was.
But that's why I have a hard time with Atlanta United's young core being the best young core, if the question is who is best fit for long-term
success. I think
because the more short-term success they have, the more they're going to have turnover.
But here's the thing. If I say the Falcons, all right, and these guys are big-time contributors, these four guys, we got Grady, Deion, Keanu, Tack, et cetera, whatever. Their most important player is a veteran. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you look at the Braves, their most important player, as great as Ronald Acuña is, their most important player is Freddie, a veteran. You look at the Hawks, they don't really have a veteran who's the most important. Atlanta United, their best player is a young player. He's the most important player. I think Joseph is the most important player on this squad. So that's why I think I'm going to have to go with Atlanta United. But, I mean, these other guys, they have a case, but their player, their guy that makes the engine and everything, makes that vehicle move for that organization, are all vets. It's not a young guy.
Right.
Except for the Atlanta Hawks.
Right. No doubt. And look, I mean, Vince Carter may be back, but that's more of a tone setter, more of a leadership thing than it is an actual on-court role. And look, he played last year, played some important minutes, shot like 41% from three, which was great. But his role is to be a mentor more than anything else. I'm with you. I think the upside, the potential of the Atlanta Hawks young core after what happened last week, adding DeAndre Hunter at number 4 in the draft, Cam Reddish at number 10, and Cam Reddish will speak with the media coming up in about 15 minutes here live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from the Emory Sports Medicine Complex. We'll talk to Cam Reddish one-on-one, or I guess two-on-one, coming up at about 11:40 this morning as well. But I think that they may be best poised to make a run simply because in the NBA, you really only need one or two. You really only need
two. You would want two.
But so if these guys hit, if Trey becomes a multiple-time All-Star, if Cam Reddish hits his ceiling, if DeAndre Hunter can come in and be the guy that we hope that he can be, if John Collins can continue to develop, like I think that just because of, you know, there's five guys on the court.
Right.
And we've seen it with teams. You know, you get it right with, say, the Warriors. You get it right with two guys, with Steph and Clay. Then you can kind of start filling other guys around that. I know Draymond was a part of that, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is a question that you could have been asking in the Bay Area 7 years ago about their core if they were able to come together and make it work. They did.
Though.
There's a lot of ifs.
There's a lot of ifs.
And that's what I like about the Braves is there's less ifs.
I agree.
I lean towards the Braves' young core being the best young core.
Well, I mean, and to that end, there's still – I don't think there's a wrong answer to this, because you said this when we brought this topic up on Saturday when we had Twin Peaks and Buckhead. You were talking about the young players that aren't here yet.
Right.
Pache's and those type of guys that are going to eventually come up and fill this roster out. You're not going to have such a veteran-led team. You're going to – Mark Higgins is going to be gone. You know, certain guys like that, Brian McCann probably will be gone when these guys get up. And that's going to be what you're going to roll with, because if you look at all these young players, everybody's under contract for a long time. You know, and they don't look like they're going to be the type of players. I'm talking about Ronald and Ozzy and guys like that, that you're going to put in a potential trade to get them out of here for something else. They look like they're going to be Braves. They're going to be that. They're going to be that core group that we're going to be going down the road multiple years.
I think you're right. I mean, you got Acuña to an 8-year deal right now. He was so good they gave him a $100 million contract after he played like 100 games.
Yeah, you know, Ronald, here. Don't take this.
Right, and they were right to do it. It was a good deal to get out ahead of it and get him that contract before, you know, he got into the Mike Trout Bryce Harper's stratosphere. Now, he still can do that.
Yes, yes.
If he plays, if he continues to play well, he gets into his mid-20s and gets that second contract. I'm with you. And I think it also points to the exact goal that the Braves management, even management that's no longer around, the previous regimes before Alex Anthopoulos got here, were trying to accomplish. I mean, the whole goal with the tear down and build back up thing was to go young.
Yep.
And as they've said multiple times, have waves of talent coming up to the big leagues every single year. They've done that.
Yep.
Last year it was Ozzie and Ronald, and this year it's been Soroka and Austin Riley.
Yep.
Next
Austin
year
Riley,
it's probably
yeah.
going to be Pache and maybe Drew Waters. Like, there's just so they're so stocked.
Yep.
With the Hawks, we feel good about what's on the way. And with what they did last week, I think, helps too, with two top 10 draft picks. With the Falcons, these guys are young, but they're also on the verge of not being that young.
Yeah.
Because it's the NFL. Like,
yeah.
Deion Jones is young. Grady Jarrett, those guys are young, technically.
Right.
But also, they're about to be on their second contracts, and your second contract in your NFL, in the NFL, is basically your last contract,
yeah.
especially on defense,
yeah,
often.
It is. And the one thing that we know about young assets, especially young players who outplay their perform their contract, when you have multiple guys like that, somebody ain't gonna be here.
Yeah.
You know, and it's unfortunate, because you would love for them all to be here, because they are part of the rebirth of Falcons football.
Sure.
You know, and you want them to be here, but you know, just like you said, it's your first time to make big money. You don't take less.
Of course not.
You don't take less.
And I would never advocate that any
of
those guys do that.
You know what, man? I love you, Grady. You my guy. I want to play with you my whole career.
Yeah, but go get all your money.
But go get your bread.
Yeah, get all the money that you could possibly get, because you never know when it's going to be over in the NFL. This conversation also points out all of the differences in terms of developing and keeping talent that all the leagues have.
Mm-hmm.
They all have different issues, right?
Yeah.
Atlanta United, if you get guys good too young, you might have to sell them to foreign
leagues. You're going to have to sell them.
With the Falcons, if you get guys good too young in the draft, you can't pay everybody.
Yep.
With the Hawks, I mean, there's a salary cap eventually, but we don't have to deal with that for a while.
The thing with the Falcons is because they're all of them are not first round draft picks except for Keanu,
right?
And all of them are playing like top level players, so that's why you got to give them that money.
And then with the Braves, it's will you pay them?
Yeah,
you have the money. There's no cap. Will you pay all of these guys? All right, we'll come back. Let you hear from Cam Reddish. That's why we're here at Emory Sports Medicine Complex today, the Atlanta Hawks practice facility. The 10th overall pick by the Atlanta Hawks. We'll meet with the media coming up in about 10 minutes, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.